Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
look at that. Okay. We can
Oh,
record
got
this. Don't
it.
say anything you don't want to record on the internet.
Uh-oh.
Do I have the microphone?
Got it.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's a rectangle microphone. So you can only hear me. So this is Parashat Achrayim Kedoshim. And the interesting part is Kedoshim, because there's so many mitzvot in there, and every single one of them. I mean, you could write a whole sefer on every one of them. But I'm gonna look at one of those mitzvot. Okay, this is beginning of the parsha says, don't curse the deaf. And that's what I focus on. Do not place a stumbling block before the blind. And this is largely based on an article by Elchanan Sometz to Zeptagush, and talking about this lotase, this law of lifnei iver lo titein michshol, thou shalt not place a stumbling block before the blind. And what he puts it is that there are four interpretations for this verse, going from taking it completely literally to taking it very metaphorically. A lot of ways of reading. What is blind? What's a stumbling block? Number one, take it literally. Blind refers to an individual who cannot see. A stumbling block is a physical object. It's a stone that physically endangers a suspecting person. You see a blind person, don't put something that's going to make them trip right in front of them. That's literal. The second, a little more metaphorically, could mean anyone who just doesn't see what's the stumbling block in front of them. Maybe you'll be able to see just fine, but it's a hidden danger. Don't create hidden dangers for anybody. Blind is metaphor. Number three is blind refers to one lacking certain information or proper understanding. A stumbling block is misleading counsel. You're misleading somebody else. Taking stumbling block and being another as a man metaphorically. And when he puts the most surprising interpretation of this verse, appears in a twice repeated bright in the Talmud, and occupies a substantial portion of halachic literature into this very day. It's what the halacha generally understands. Lifnei iver lo titein michshol means you cannot help someone else commit a sin. That's the blind person.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
The blindness refers to like an unknowingness. The stumbling, like
Ah,
so
good question.
is there like it doesn't say here that like do they have to not know?
No, it's the exact opposite. That's what we're talking about, but that's the surprising part. Is that's
It
actually
doesn't
what the
sound like a
blind
blind
is saying.
person at all. They're
Right.
not
This is someone
blind.
who knows full well that the example here in the Brayse is giving a wine to a nazir. This is a nazir who knows exactly he's not supposed to drink wine. He made a
And he
vow.
knows it's a cup of wine.
He knows a cup of wine.
And then
That's not what. And the lifting iver is don't help such a person by handing the wine that they couldn't get for themselves. Offering meat from a live animal to a Gentile. Again, and that's what the point is, that it's not clear what the iver interpretation, right? Wine. This is talking about helping someone who knows that they're doing the wrong thing do the avera. Okay, so it says that's the quite four ways of looking at this. And the way that in the halakhic literature, that's the way it's interpreted, the thing you to say. The literal meaning, this is Sephorno, says the Torah is telling you this, that the issue is there is even though you're not hurting someone directly, causing damage is a problem. And even more so, leading to something that's going to cause the damage. Don't even put it there, even if that. Certainly you'd be liable if the person falls on it and hurts themselves. That's nezek, that's bor, that's digging a pit in public property. Just don't even place it. There's an issue against that. Was wondering whether that's true in US law or not. Are you liable for creating a hazardous situation if no one gets hurt? There's a
I'm just
saying
gonna
in
sue
for
you.
malpra in malpractice, like basically no harm, no foul. You can't sue a doctor for making a mistake if no one gets hurt.
Right.
Because
Right.
it's only malpractice. If you just ask why not, it's only malpractice if someone actually gets hurt. This is
Didn't
don't even set up the hazard.
ask why not.
But also the post can hold that that's not the halachic meaning of this, okay? You can't literally put a stumbling block before a literal blind person, but that's covered by Nezikin. This is definitely considered more metaphoric. So Unkelus looks at the second way, that lifnei iver means don't create a situation where someone who can't see it will be hurt, not literally iver, a blind person. And he translates it, lo talut lo shema, don't curse someone who can't hear, v'kadam delo chazi lo tasim tikla. And before someone who cannot see, don't put something that he will trip over.
That's like in Wisdom, like the Bir Hamid, you say, like the Lachazite.
The Lachazite, that I have not seen. Right, that's Aramaic, same Aramaic. But the thing is that there is a perfectly good Aramaic word of Avir, which means blind.
Oh.
For instance, when you talk about Mumim, right? Kosher bo Mum lo yikrav in Emar. Ish Ivero Piseach, okay? It says Gevar Avir o Chagir, someone who is Avir. So Orkulis does not use the term Avir there. He says Delochaz, you can't see it. And I think about this all the time because I walk around playing games on my phone, standing in front of my face, okay? And I would walk into the street if they didn't have those bumpy warning strips at the corners. I don't know if they have that in Israel or not. In the US, they're all installing on the sidewalks.
There's and a in Australia.
Sign. What?
And in Australia.
And
here,
they're all the sidewalks now, they've got ramps, so you get your wheelchair down. They also have bumpy strips right at the edge of the street. So you don't walk into the street because you're blind. Mm-hmm. And that's true of me, who is metaphorically blind in this case, because I'm sitting there watching my phone, not watching where I'm going.
Well, it's true because like ADA compliance laws probably went into effect right about when smartphones were also becoming popular. So
I don't
know.
I don't know. So that's a delocha. That's a delochazi. All of us in some situation are blind. That's still pretty literal, right? It's a physical obstacle, someone who can't see, has got vision problems there. The Rashi goes the next step. And that's number three. The don't give bad advice. Don't tell someone who doesn't really know what's going on. That's a sifra. And here's a sifra here. Someone who's blind in a given area for something, metaphorically doesn't know about it. Someone comes and says, "But ish ploni mahi lekahuna? Can a kohen marry this particular woman, and she's actually is a gioret or a grusha or something where she can't marry? I'll tell Marlo Kishera if he in an elpsua, and then don't tell him. Oh, it's fine. He doesn't know. Another example: what can a tell me mimcha etza?" And that's not just halachic blind, but it's any kind of situation where you're giving advice that's self-serving. The person knows that if someone wants advice from you, don't give him bad advice. Don't tell someone you should leave early in the morning when you know full well that the muggers are all out early in the morning and get robbed.
But we still have an iver, someone who doesn't know something.
Iver, not in this vision sense, but it doesn't know. That's the iver. Yeah. That's the michshol, is the what you're telling him. Don't tell him go out in the noon when he doesn't realize how hot it's going to be. And al tomar mechor etzachav kachachachamor. Don't give him financial advice. You should sell your field, buy donkeys. Donkey market is great. because you really want to buy his field from him. That's an example of Lotim. Escort number three. Number four is, as we said before, the victim isn't blind at all. Number four is where someone who's trying to do an Avera. You can't abet that. This is the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, Minayin Shelo Yoshid Adam Kos Yain Nazir. Where do we know that you should not be handing a glass of wine to a Nazir, Abram Menachayel Ben Noach, or a Abram and Achai, a piece of a live animal to Ben Noach, who's not allowed to eat that.
So it even applies, interesting. So the Isser even applies to people who aren't Jewish.
Correct.
You can trip, you can't even stomach. Okay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's you. That So the question is, what is the iver there? What has that? So the Rambam explains that. Someone who fools, who misleads, causes someone to stumble in any in anything, who gives him bad advice. That was interpretation number three. O shechizek yedei ovrei avera, or help someone do an avera. To iver, what is he an iver? Ve'ena ro'ed derech emet, ne'tavat libo. The person who's trying to do an avera is blind in the sense that Rambam is very big on that. That what you really want to do Hashem's will. We know that, but your yetzahara, your desire, are blinding you to that fact. What you're really, your neshama really wants to do, and that's the iver there. So that such a person is ena ro'ed derech emet. You can't see the way of truth. That's the iver. Praise the over belotase. That's the Yisa there. Right? That the blindness there is the inability to see their own best interest. So we have a responsibility to protect other people, even from michshol that they really want to stumble over. That's the famous pasuk from Hosea, right? Who is wise will understand this? The ways of God are straight. Tzadikim yelchu bam. Tzadikim will walk on them. Poshim yikashu bam. Sinners will have a mikshol. They will stumble over the ways of Hashem. They're tripping over there. And the definition of a poshea is someone potentially who's trying to trip over them. You have a responsibility not to help.
I think about it also as like somebody with like an addiction or like a child who wants more candy and like it's not good for them. Like somebody who genuinely wants something and like they really genuinely want it, even though like it really is going to be harmful for them.
And that's exactly the way the Rambam looks at Iver in this case. That's what they're blind to. That's exactly what that case is.
Well, that equates self-interest with doing what Hashem wants us to do.
That, but again, that's the Rambam's assumption of what the Iver is. That is the assumption that truly our neshama, we believe, is that neshama is good. It really wants us to do that. What we really want to do, what's best for us, and that is what Hashem wants. That is the assumption inherent in that idea of being an Iver. And we just don't see it. Now, if you want to be radical, you can ask whether what Hashem wants to do is the same thing that the rabbis tell us we should do, but that's a more radical question. But at least
isn't that what the subject of a lot of your shiurim, though?
What?
About how, like, Hashem wants us to do what? Like, he's given us that power to make those decisions.
Yes. But then the question is, right, how do we know what it is that Hashem wants us to do, and how is that decided? And I guess the nature of rabbinic authority.
Yeah, and I always stumble over the idea that it's the rabbis who are telling us that God wants you to listen to the rabbis.
That's what you always make that point about, right?
That's my stumbling block.
Well, isn't it in the Torah?
That you should right, but the question then is, how do we identify those who are the ones who are
right
correctly interpreted the Torah?
Where does it say in the Torah that
you should listen to the those
interpreters? You know, small. What's the pasuk?
What's the story? Minu small, right? El shofet asher yeb el shof vate el shofet asher yeb bayamim mahem. You will go to the shofet who will be in those days, and he will ask you what to do according to the Torah. So who is the shofet? Where does that authority come from? That is not a small question.
No.
I can tell you there are 8 billion people in the world. I can rule out one of them as the one who has that authority. And that's me.
I rule out a second one.
Okay. And I would say that's what I say. The charav is that you need to have some sense of where that you need to have a sense of where that authority is coming from. But I'm not going to tell you where that is. But I'm looking at this pasuk here, Lifnei Iver L'Tzitzei Mechshol, and how we really want to interpret it metaphorically. But if you look in the context of it, that's appropriate, because on all these laws, there's a lot that clearly is metaphoric in terms of these laws that are on Kedoshim, that are all Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. For instance, two pesukim later, which is clearly there. Lo Telech Rachil Bamecha. Don't go spreading tales. Well, that's pretty literal. Lo Tamod Al Dam Reyecha. That's an issur, right? Don't stand on your fellow's blood. Clearly, that has got to be a metaphor. No one is claiming that someone has a nosebleed, you can't go and stand on the puddle. Right? That is, don't stand idly by if someone else is being hurt.
But okay? It's like a 1 degree metaphor. It's not like the blind is really the thing. Right. It's not a spiritual, like, it's not a metaphor for something spiritual.
Well, okay, I think it's or maybe it's, it is. Yeah, the 1 degree versus two is appropriate there, but the amod is not literal, and the dam is not literal either. Right? Somebody just don't, you have to save your, someone's drowning. This is a, if someone is drowning, go save them, mitzvah right. There, right? There's not literal dam there. So it's still pretty metaphoric. I mean, so we have that room to look at the halakha and sort of what we call the drush of it.
Well, even like ayin tacha ayin is a classic. I mean,
right. But we'll talk about how this is different in a moment from ayin tacha, okay. Or even lo tam adam reyecha. This one is different.
Right.
And again, the context
it's not that
of it,
different, because look at the one before lo telech rachil. Well, that is pretty literal.
Yeah, you could definitely read it. Don't go around spreading tales.
Yeah, that is.
I can see
literal.
That as being pretty literal.
Yeah.
again, there's rules that are a little metaphorically, but I want to add to this that in the context of it and the idea of taking Iver specifically as a metaphor for someone who is being blinded, who is not doing the right thing, it's the pasuk afterwards is all about judgment. Like, okay, the pasuk is Lotel Kheresh, we say Iver Te Mechshol, and then Lotosu Abba Bamishpat. That's where it goes through that. If you do not place stumbling block before the blind and don't warp judgment. Because the previous use of the word iver was back in Parsha Shmotim, Shmot rather, it's Mishpatim, where it says, Shocha lo tikach, ki ashocha yaver pichim, v'salef divrei tzadikim. Don't take bribes, because bribes will blind those who can see and will warp the words of the righteous. Clearly there, that's the aver pichim will blind them. Clearly that's metaphoric there. And right. So we have this michshol, this the fact that the michshol that they're placing in front of the iver is in this context, don't take bribes.
Mm-hmm.
That's abetting the injustice. And this connection between the iver, the michshol, but the iver to contain michshol and the warping justice, that kind of iver, that kind of blindness is made in Sefer Devarim when it goes through all these curses that they had the whole ceremony on Har Grizim Har Evel. They would say the curse, they would say Arur Mishke Iver Badera. Cursed is one who trips a blind person on the way. From Mar Kalam Amen. Arur Matem Mishpat Ger Yatamana. Cursed one who slants, literally. Who isn't straight in justice with the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. Those two are connected there. So now I have these four ways of looking at Lifnei Iver. So which one is right?
They're all right.
And the answer is yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay? That's usually the way it works. And that's the Meshech Chachma says that. Lifnei Iver L'tei Mechshol. So Kutim, this is the Samaritans who would take it literally. The Gemara discusses Mefarshin Kamashma'ua. They just say that the only Isser is literal. So the Gemara discusses that. You have a Samaritan, you can trust his Shechita if he's checking for himself, because they're careful about anything that says in the Torah. But you can't trust it if he checked it for you, because they're not worried about misleading you. So it's really tainted. But But the it says the Samaritans take this literally. So they take Evan with Nate Iver, but Derek, you can't put a rock in front of someone blind as they're walking. Up, you got to make him trip. And this is right. It's not, you're not allowed to do that. Umiza Azara Liftoch or Korabur Bishud Arabim. And the same thing is interpretation number two. You can't open it, have an open pit in public property. Same thing. That's because you people aren't going to see it. They'll be on their phones. They'll trip. They'll get damaged. And the same thing is true. You can't mislead someone who doesn't know something. That's giving bad advice. Or because he wants to do this aver so much. And because he's amazed it, right? The person intentionally wants to do a sin, you can't help him. Rashi Chacham says, this love, as written, applies to all four cases. So it's different from Ayin Tachat Ayin, where we say there's a pshat, and the halachic drash is different from the pshat. Rashi Chachma here is saying that all four are halachically binding. This is one lav in the pshat that has four different halachic meanings. And if you say you don't take it literally, still the latter two are halachic. So this kind of pasuk, where the pshat is one sentence, we learn different things from it. And so we say that the Torah Shel Peh tells us that all these different meanings are true. That is a specific name. It's called a lav sheh beklalot. A lot has say that encompasses a bunch of things. That's a term, and that has halachic implications. And that's the Meshech Chachma continues on that. If he gives advice, as we just said, and all things like that. This is one of the lav shebeklalot. So if you actually are over this lav, you put a stumbling block before the blind, then it counts, it's a lav shebeklalot. Lachain ein lokin alav. And therefore, Beit Din cannot punish you. We'll look at that.
Why can't they?
What? Yeah.
We're gonna look at that. That's what I wanted to say. We're gonna have to look at that inside.
How would you translate that lav shebeklalot? I'm sorry if you did that already. I missed that. It's a lav that's
I think this is the way that Sfaria has it vocalized. Mm-hmm. I would say klalut. That is a lota say that is a is in general.
In general, a general lotasa.
Right, it has multiple pieces of it. It's not a single lotasa. They're completely different mitzvot there. For which this is one of the tariag that has lots of parts. And you don't get mako for that. You normally would. We have to look at that. Can you really? This is the Meshech Chachma looking at that. Nobody else says that explicitly. That the thing Iver is lav shekolo in looking all up. And this is the implication of the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvot, and you should look over there. Now that's what Ye'un Sham, you should study it over there. So we're going to do that. Here's the Rambam.
Oh, yes. Is Mir here? This is Rav Cooperman. That's all.
What?
I was quoting Rav Cooperman.
Oh, yes, we're definitely quoting Rav Cooperman. This all comes down. Yeah, and so Davida, thank you because you left the Rav Cooperman's Meshech Chachma downstairs. So I'm using that. So this is the Rambam. Ein roi sheyimnu kol isur v'isur shekila lehem zehalav mitzvah pnei atzma. That in this is the shorashim in the Sefer Mitzvot is Rambam trying to say what counts as one of the tayyag, one of the 613. A lot more than 613 different mitzvot. So he has a bunch of rules at what gets counted. One of them is if it's one pasuk that's got multiple parts, then each one doesn't get counted as its own mitzvah. They're not four separate lota says here, this counts as one. Yeah, in how he's counting. Aval yimne halav levado, we're just going to count the one lota says, shekola elo adrim kulam, that puts all these things together. And for example, we have in this week's parsha lo tochu al adam. That's in our parsha here, and the Gemara goes through lots of examples. Okay, of what is included in that.
And that's literal lo tochlul hadam.
No, al hadam. Not you can't eat blood, but don't eat on the blood. Those are the words right. there. It says you can eat.
But that's literal on the blood, as opposed to al tamod al dam.
Oh, yeah. So it's talking about literal blood. But this idea is, this is teaching us the warning about ben sora mora, that don't be a glutton when it leads to murder. Mm-hmm. Don't, and it talks about you can't eat a carbon before they sprinkle the blood. There's lots of implications of that puzzle. Mm-hmm. They say that's a lav shebeklolo. Amru gam kein lifnei iver lo tehi michshol. Ki hu gam kolel inyanim rabim. Same too. Lifnei iver includes a lot of different things. This is a multi-part lav. Amru lo tisa shem ashav. Another idea of not the literally carrying a false reputation has lots of implications. Yigam hu kolel inyanim rabim kmo shenibar. Zeh min echad mimine lav shebeklolot. And this is all called a lav shebeklolot. That's the term we're using. And here's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where all this comes down. Ein lo kina lav shebeklolot. Beit Din does not punish for a lav shebeklolot. You can't be brought to Beit Din just said you put a stumbling block in front of that blind person. You're not allowed to do it. That's an isser. It's an avera, but it is not subject to being punished by the court.
We're going to find out why.
Well, that's where we're going to try to think about why.
Okay.
And I don't have a great answer. Now, I have a great Abnei Nezer, the Sukkotchover. Rebbe has a Shaila Teshuva where someone, if he quotes, one of his students said, proposed to him that maybe you ain't looking at lav shebeklolot because there are these four options and we're not sure which is the right one. Maybe there's a suffix there about what the halacha actually halacha is. And that's why we can't actually give a punishment. And then the Abnei Nezer says, writes back to him and says, that's a good question. I don't know what the right answer is, but I know yours is wrong and I thought about burning your letter. Wow. You should think there's a suffix. No, all four of these options are actually usher. There's no suffix there. That's not the right answer. But I don't know what the right answer is. This is just a fact in Lokit. The Tanya Minayin Ochel Bina Behema Kodim Shetetse Nafsha Gibelotase. You can't eat an animal before it's completely dead. It says Lo Tochel Adam. This is the Gemara goes to Tochel Adam. Gives a couple of other answers. Mentioned Ein Marin Al Ruge Beit Din that you don't mourn, you're gonna have the student have ra'a, sit shiva for someone who's been put to death for a capital crime. It says lo tuchel adam. That's the implication of that. Rabbi Nochet Omer Azhar ben Soromore, the idea of a ben Soromore. We have the punishment. Where is the Azhara that it's wrong? That's all examples of that. And Rav Avi Barchia became Rav Avi and Barchana. These Amorim said, al kulam eno loke, all these things that you might be over, there are no mako, mishum tahavi lav shebeklolot, and done. And that's all we get in the Gemara. We don't have some kind of reason why that should be true. So they're all forbidden. They're also, Beit Din will not punish the perpetrator. I don't know why. So this is Rav Kuperman. Michala Kedusha Pshutoshel Mikra suggests that the Peshat, that the Torah say, by having a Peshat, that we're saying the Torah Shel Peh says has multiple different Yisurim, that means that each individual Yisur is less forced than a full-fledged Lotaseh. So everybody puts it, that the Pasuk is what gives it its force of the Lotaseh. And this is the way he puts it. You know, I'm looking for an answer because I don't have a great answer here. It's a fascinating idea. It's clear in this kind of thing, he's talking specifically about that there's no mako. The energy inherent in this lotase, the force of it as lotase, the energia shel mea, that say, if it starts out with 100% of the pasuk, mitchaleket ben kol amerkivim shechazal kiblu b'lotase zeh, is divided among all the various ingredients that Chazal have accepted. He's assuming that this is all Torah Shebal Peh, and so that the inherent is because the energy of the Lotasa is divided. And all these different parts are completely different inyan, different ideas. that certainly if they're explicit, they would warrant getting mako, they weren't being punished by bitim. And they would have been individual mitzvot listed in as the 613 mitzvot. If they were written down intentionally and had sort of that 100% mitzvah say, each one individually was a full dotase. That's not the way Hashem wrote in the Torah. But we assign to each of these various parts, we give them 1/5 if there are 5 parts.
I think maktiv means to budget,
I'll go with that. Okay, so we budget in each one of those. If you know, Zotoklu has 5 different isurim there, then each one gets 20% of the original force of a lotase. So it doesn't get to the point of actually warranting mako, the beitim. That's his proposal.
Interesting.
That if lav shebeklalo tells you that the Torah is telling us that this isn't a full lotase that's subject to punishment by beitim. Also, okay, Shad is telling us that even if forbidden, that's left to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Human beitim cannot decide that this was a wrong thing. And what I would say, the implication of that is that, you know, a lot of these things, we can't tell what the intention was. I can't say whether the advice was bad. I can't say whether, you know, whether what you're doing is the right thing or not to try to help somebody else. There are subtleties there. I don't know whether it was meant maliciously. So human beings are not going to punish the other person for that. So the pasuk ends, v'yireitem elokecha ani Hashem. V'nei iver lo tehi michshol, v'yireitem elokecha ani Hashem. As Rashi says, because human beings don't know. I don't know whether I'm giving advice and I really am trying to mislead you. Whether when I'm helping you, I'm sincerely trying to help. Am I trying to do the wrong thing? I don't know. I can't tell. And you could deny, the person can say, no, I meant it for good.
Is it when you talk about the intentionality here, is it the intentionality is that I intended to be good and in the end it wasn't good, or the intention was I wasn't sure if it was the right thing or not to do?
I think both of those would apply. So part what Rashi's point is that from the outside I can the Beit Din cannot tell what I as the person placing the michshol was in.
Even if I as the person know,
I may know,
right?
But I'm the perpetrator. But Beit Din can't know that. That's why it's Beit Din Melkecha. It's in Hashem's hands to decide what the punishment is.
But that only works. That only works for the fourth interpretation.
Yeah, that was my question.
Works for the third also.
What's
if I give
third?
You advice.
Oh, that's no, that wasn't my question.
Advice, you'll sell your field and invest in donkeys.
Yeah, that's the one it works for. Okay. But what about the first two?
Well, if you put something, you could say, oh, I didn't notice that stone was there. Oops, I kicked that into the middle of the street. Like you can.
Right.
Right.
We don't necessarily know that why a person's doing something or that a person knows that they're making something.
Or like, I didn't realize he was blind and I.
Right.
But that applies to everything. Don't do false
right.
weights.
So again,
oh,
so
I didn't know the weight was false. I mean,
yeah. So
that applies.
Well, that also is the false weights of the false. I think Rashi also says for Yitzhak Melchecha, no?
Well, that's more explicit that, there. So this is the part where I am looking at this. This is the part where I admit I'm weak on and I don't have a great reason for. So if you have other ideas here, I mean, I admit that this is weak, but this seems to be the connection. I'm this is why a connection
well,
I'm going to.
Oh, my question is, I thought the reason. Oh, sorry. What did you say?
I'm probably that these kind of mitzvot, basically, the fact is that they're not given to Beit Din to punish.
But it's not just this one, it's the other one also. It's the, I mean, it's not the fact that it's v'yireitem melekecha, it's the fact that it's a lav shebeklalot.
So all the lav shebeklalot are in this category of they're not given to Beit Din.
Right, but are all the lav shebeklalot in the category of something that other people wouldn't be able to know?
not
necessarily.
necessarily. Right,
Rashi
right. So lo tocha adam presumably is not.
Right.
And when, so I don't have a great. So this is for the iver. At least I'm arguing that. The other
so
one,
it's
I don't
not
have a
because
great
it's love, but then
universal reason. I don't have a great universal reason for the love. It still is. This is so. I'm leaving this as an exercise three because I don't have an answer. I'm still proposing that that litnei ir is still something that's because of the idea that this is mitzvah ben adam l'chavera, and that the lav shvagalot is as this manalach level that it's not a place to judge other people's interpersonal behavior. You're not a fan of this one, okay? That I'm saying
I'm better with the original, like, because so many things are encompassed in it. They're each a little bit diluted.
Right, but I still want to, that's fine there, but then why would you dilute this as opposed to anything
right.
else? That's what I want to have
right.
an answer. So the
but
Torah,
Abba,
Torah,
if it's,
we're pulling that's right, that the Torah is
right.
telling you that this is a diluted, not diluted, diluted
why, what's
lotase.
It?
But why should, you know, misleading, abetting a crime be diluted? That's the fundamental
Right.
halacha, is right. That
right.
Why should that be diluted as opposed to, you know, hitting someone in the nose?
Right.
But that's also
that's
been
what
out
I'm
of a Javero.
Right. So, that's why I'm trying to look for an answer here. I don't have a great one. So my suggestion is that it's pulling back on the hocheach tochiach. That part of this thing is don't be judged, don't so quick to judge. Like God knows what's in your what in the other person's mind. Don't tell them that you know you are that what you're doing is a you're helping someone else sin. That it's very easy to accuse someone else of that. When actually we're trying to help.
You'll
can
have
you
to get
explain,
back
can you
to
explain
us.
That again, Abba? The last part.
I'm saying that there is a mitzvah of hochei tochiyah mechacha. That's in the
right.
That's in the parsha, right? You have to rebuke someone else, right? I have to care about make sure everybody else doesn't sin.
Right.
This tells us step back. Okay, the beginning of the pasuk is lo tisnat achicha b'levavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. And part
right.
of that is this the fact that Hashem is telling you that these mitzvot of things like lifnei iver, they're in fact not full lotus says in the sense that beit din, that human beings aren't there to judge. God can take care of that. You don't have to be judging other people for what they're doing there. It's not.
It looks like we were talking about with Rav Huttner that we're not we're being judged. The ability to judge is a.
Whereas a shaliyah of Hashem,
right?
We're not imitating God. God's given us the authority to do that in limited circumstances, but not here. So that was that. That's kind of where I ended up with thinking about this. I would like some better answer for the lav shebekolot in lokan alav. I don't have a great answer there.
Where else does it apply besides is it does the Gemara give other places where it applies besides these two cases?
The Rambam gave the example of lotisa shemashav,
okay.
Which is in Mishpatim, which is
what is that lotisa what?
Shema Shav.
What does that mean again?
Don't carry vain
duck,
things that are heard.
What's duck duck go? Yeah.
That's not Lotisa. That's not the ten one of the commandments.
That's
Lotisa.
Shema Kechel last Shav. No.
No, I was thinking the same. I was thinking the same thing.
So here, let's go
yeah,
find.
So what is
so,
it?
This is in here. Lotisa Shema Shav. And let's see how Safariya translates that. That should raise a false report. That's the Isser of spreading, it's one of the Issers against spreading Lashon Hara. Lotisa, don't carry it. It's the Isser against listening to Lashon Hara. Let's find here.
I think that's like Fox News, you know.
I won't judge anybody's news program. But yes, I wouldn't. But okay, it's lo yedaber sani garon lifnehem, that you can't testify in front of other. Lifnehem means in front of non-Jewish courts. And minayin le dayan shel yishma tana echad mevli dayan dinin, that you shouldn't listen ad shelo yavo chaveiro, you shouldn't listen to one claimant in a case if you're the judge before the other one comes. That's part of this. Leitan am tana sheker, that you shouldn't, you can't, what's the legal term for a frivolous, you can't have a frivolous lawsuit. That's the low yiton adam tana sheker. That's part of this. Yatim de adam devarer ladin tchila. So again, this is another one. There are lots of different implications of this.
And yeah, are these things that people wouldn't know, or that doesn't work for this for the?
Nine as haral mishapir lashon hara makabel lashon hara. That's what she says.
So all these things would not get malkut.
Right, that if in fact you do that, they are wrong, they're isurim, but they're b'dei shamayim to punish.
But is it? This also applies that you wouldn't know that they were doing it for the wrong reasons, like being mekabel lashon hara is a similar thing. No one will know that you're, whether you're mekabel or not.
I don't know. That's not about judging others. You know, certainly the judge not listening to one claimant before the other one comes,
right, it's
certainly pretty explicit.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay. So my reason doesn't apply in all these cases.
It doesn't apply.
I don't have a great
reason
for lav shebeklolo in general. So I think the question is better than any of the answer I'm giving here. I'm left with the
food for thought.
I didn't know either. So I don't have a great answer here. But I still like the answer, like the idea of not judging other people.
Don't judge other people.
I'm still
a little bit confused about how that is an answer.
I see something that looks like you are helping someone sin. You are doing lifting evil, lifting mishol. I, as the Beit Din, am not qualified to judge.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Third person.
Okay. Okay.
But how are you getting? Don't judge other people when it says hocheach tochiach.
Right. So I'm saying there's a dialectic, there's a balance there. The beginning of the pasuk is lo tisa tachiach abavecha. Don't hate other people. Don't carry sin. But that's not an absolute, is my point here. It's kind of balancing that out.
Right. Yes, on the one hand, Hashem, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if someone on Shabbos morning gives you something you think is good, bring it back to us.
Oh, okay, in terms of a good answer here, right?
So I also thought you were bringing it back.
We can do that. That we'll definitely do that. We'll see what we can.
If they bring you some food, that's good too. Bring it to Ivan. I'll take some. interesting.
Okay, so in terms of under construction, I will emphasize the fact that this is a weak answer, and I don't have a great answer, and I would like more. I was hoping that Kuperman's essay would end with a better answer, but it doesn't.
Yeah, maybe I'll present it to our barbecue crew. We have Mitch.
Oh, there you go.
Ed, okay, see if Mitch has an answer. Of lav shebeklalot.
Right.
Why is lav shebeklalot ain lokin alav?
Part of my ignorance. The Edelman's made aliyah. Did I know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mazel tov. Okay.
That's why Connie's off the WhatsApp right now, but the Zoom. But she's driving Ed Edelman's car.
I didn't realize that.
What?
I bought Ed's car when he met
Aliyah. I bought Ed's car. Oh.
Correct.
Oh. Wow.
And they gave it to Chani.
Oh.
So she is now driving Ed's Camry.
Okay, nice.
I hope he didn't trick you that it wasn't such a good car. And
he met Aliyah a while ago, so it's done pretty well so far.
Yeah. No. Well, we can't judge that, right? Anyways,
they live right near us. We're in the same town. That's the
Tell them that the alternator went out 2 months ago, and as you had to replace the alternator.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's all a right. 2000. I'll it's leave 2012.
You. Right? Filled with water. Family time. You can have some family time. Thank you,
yeah.
Danny.
Okay. Thank you. Happy
Oh, enjoy the spice blends.
Yes, thank you. They're very good. Thank you. Okay.
What's the response?